Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. So, look, when I was in college, I had this really great job. I worked at a movie theater. And, you know, it was great because I got to watch a lot of free movies, but also because I got a lot of free movie posters. And I remember that year, 1995, it was a great year for movie posters. Apollo 13, Braveheart, Batman Forever. Well, if you love movie posters, the Norton Museum in West Palm Beach is taking a trip back in time to Hollywood's golden era.
I want you to rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's going to give you what you want.
It's too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm going to make them an offer again with you.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again.
Hilda, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. Now, now. He's looking at you, kid.
Well, here's looking at you. It's the largest show of movie posters, with films like The Godfather, Singing in the Rain, and Casablanca being featured. It starts this week. It runs through the end of October. Joining me now is Matthew Bird, the curator of the show, and Dwight Cleveland, the man behind the collection, joining us from the studios of WXCL. Matthew, Dwight, great to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, great to be here.
Matthew, I want to start with you. I've seen some of the pictures of the show, and they are striking beautiful. But tell me, where did the idea for a show, an exhibit, about movie posters come from?
Well, as with most successes, it was a sort of perfect storm. The Norton has a history of doing summer shows that I've been involved with, including one, Wheels and Heels, which was Barbie and Matchbox Cars, and then Going Places, a transportation design document show. So this fit naturally into the sort of progression of shows there, and the gallery that's available is enormous. It's a huge space. So the opportunity to fill it with movie posters was sort of a perfect equation. And Dwight Cleveland's became available and offered his collection to the Norton for this show. So it was the right time and the right place and the right body of work to feature there.
Dwight, how many posters do you have?
About 3,000.
Wow. Where did you get these posters? And these are great posters going back a long time.
They are. I've spent nearly half a century hunting these down all over the world. So I buy them at flea markets and antique shows and off the internet now, from dealers, other collectors. We'd have to do a whole show on acquisition.
All right, but could you tell me this? What is the oldest one you have?
The oldest ones I have are all from the late 1800s.
Wow, and to remember that there were movies back then, but a very different world of movies.
They were a different definition of movies. They were, at the advent, they were a lot shorter and very basic type film.
Do you recall the first movie poster you ever got in your collection?
Of course, yes, very vividly. It still burns brightly in my mind, and that's sort of the fire that keeps me going.
And which one was it?
It was a Wolf Song lobby card, which is a 1929 film with Lupe Velez and Gary Cooper. And it was owned by a teacher, the art teacher at my high school, who was a great collector and had things hanging up in the gallery and in his office and the studio. And I never really paid too much attention to them until one day, my senior year, so this is 4 years later, he came back from a buying trip. And he was leafing through this group of lobby cards he'd acquired, and a whole bunch of us were sort of crowded around looking over his shoulder. And this one from Wolf Song, which is a Paramount picture, just reached out and grabbed me and said, you know, take me home. So it ended up being about 18 or 20 months later that I finally was able to do that. But it really sparked my love of the graphic art in these posters, and it's been a great trip.
And that poster is in the show, so you can see it yourself.
Fantastic. Now, and I say this because I mentioned what I love so much about my college experience is There is something magical about movie posters. This isn't the stuff you could buy at a store. Movie posters are really unique. They come from the studios. And, I mean, I was a popular guy in the dorm because everybody wanted those posters. But I wanted to hear from you, you know, and Matthew, let me start with you. What is it? What are you, for you, what is the magic of the movie poster?
Well, I think unlike other, almost all other art forms, the primary function of a movie poster is to grab your attention and make you want to spend money to go see a movie. So when you mentioned the early silent movies, one thing that intrigued me is we have a digital monitor with some short clips from early silent films. And from our distance, they're pretty boring movies. But the posters for them are still incredibly exciting. So to see the difference between the poster and what the poster is advertising is really obvious with those older movies, but that's always been true because they're advertising tools. They're designed to grab our attention, and other images that we make do something different, and they're not, they don't have that urgency or immediacy. So I think that that's really what makes posters endure.
Yeah, I mean, they were the original trailer to a movie, basically. It was the poster. It was the actual poster that got you there, that enticed you to go to see the movie.
Yep, absolutely.
During the silent era, the posters, and into the, you know, through the 30s, the poster was really the only way to communicate and sell the film. There was no television. There was radio, but the poster was really the thing that you walked by on the street, either in a store. It was leaning up against a cash register, or posted in front of the theater, or on the side of a barn for the really big ones, and that's what motivated you to go into the theater and see the film.
When you were both working on choosing the posters for the show, I want to know what those conversations were like, because, again, Dwight's got 3,000 of them, and so it's like, I mean, how do you decide which ones are going to go and which ones you're not going to take? And I want to know about the ones that you didn't take.
It was a really fun / challenging / impossible situation, because the working backwards from what could fit in the room, we actually established a sort of artificial target of about 150 posters, 160 posters. But then the majority of the really exciting posters turned out to be these smaller lobby cards, which were 11 by 14, and they don't take up as much space. So part of it was logistics and wall space, but then another layer to the filter was, what is the story of the show? What's the history of movies and movie posters? And what posters in Dwight's collection would illustrate that most clearly? So it really was just like dumping stuff in hoppers and shaking and seeing what came out. But then at the end, when Dwight looked at our choices, there were some head-scratching moments where he said, wait, I don't understand why these posters aren't in, and I also don't understand why these other posters are. And then he got to propose alternatives. So there was some negotiating at the end that was really enlightening, because, of course, the depth of Dwight's knowledge, having built the collection and spent his life with it, can't possibly compare to anyone else's expertise diving into it in a temporary way.
Yeah, Dwight, tell me, though, about one that he wanted and you didn't understand why, and you convinced him that it was a better one to choose.
You know, I'd like a crack at that earlier question if I could.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have a completely different perspective. I am a lover of these posters and the films, and I didn't want this to be an exhibition on film posters. I wanted it to be an exhibition on American culture, as seen through the graphic art, just happened to be, you know, telling this story through the posters from my collection. So I would answer that question as really giving Matthew Bird a carte blanche, entree into my collection. I brought him out to Chicago along with Rachel Gustafson, the co-curator from the Norton Museum. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I kind of want to remember as if I just said, you guys go to town here and pick out whatever you want in order to tell the stories that you want to tell. And that's really what's so unique about this, is that Matthew is not a film scholar. He is a graphic art and design scholar, one of the world's most renowned. So this is really the specialty and the unique filter that he is bringing to this exhibition, and we're getting to see it through a completely new lens that it's never been seen before.
All right, but I'm not going to let you off the hook, though, Dwight. I want to know, is there one time when you guys had an argument about a poster that you wanted in the show, or he wanted in the show, or I'd love
you
to
know, there's only love between us. There are no arguments, but
they're amazingly.
I will tell. There were a couple of things. There was I did look through it, and I said, "Geez, you know, we don't have a John Wayne poster. We kind of need to put one in." And so we, at the very last minute, we got in a Romanian poster from John Wayne's film, The Cowboys, which is a really, really interesting poster from an artwork standpoint. And then Myrna Loy is one of my favorite actresses, and I couldn't find anything, you know, on her. And I said, we just absolutely have to include her. I mean, she's one of my favorite actresses. So we snuck in a Thin Man poster at the very end.
Which worked well for me because the Thin Man movies are my favorite movies. So how that hadn't happened on the first round, I'm not sure.
It was only a lobby card, which is 11 by 14 yeah. inches. But we managed to find space on the walls for it.
I'm talking with Matthew Bird and Dwight Cleveland. They are behind the new exhibition at the Norton Museum of Art. It's called Coming Soon, the largest museum show of movie posters. By the way, we've got some photos on our social media, WLRN Sundial, so you can check them out. Really some beautiful ones. You know what, Dwight, are these movie posters, you know, I wonder if it's something that's in demand that, you know, they could be in the art market. Are they considered valuable, rare collectibles, things like that?
Well, it's a really interesting question. You sort of touched on that at the very beginning when you mentioned that these posters were only available to theater owners. They ordered them directly from the studios and then from National Screen Service, which was owned by the studios. And so they were never available to the public, like baseball cards or comic books or other, you know, type of ephemera and certainly artwork that were commissioned by people to, you know, with painters and whatnot. So it was really only the people who worked at the theater who had access to these posters, and they were only had a useful life of about 2 or 3 days while the film was being shown, and then they literally became garbage. They were thrown out. They were burned. Theaters have a history of turning the lights and the heat off at night, and so in northern climates, you know, the pipes would break and flood the basement, which is where all the posters were
right.
dumped.
Yeah.
And so there are really very, very few of these that exist. They're like Vermeer paintings in terms of their rarity. They're literally just a handful of a couple of these. In the show, there are 215 total items, and I haven't actually done the exact math on it, but almost half of those are one-of-a-kind poster. There are no other known examples.
Yeah. You know, Matthew, something fascinating when you look at the posters that you have up on display. Today, posters, I think, are uniform in size and shape, but you've got posters, as you've been describing it, I mean, small ones, some are very large, tall, thin, wide. I mean, they used to come in all kinds of shapes and sizes.
They still do if you think about it. One reason movie posters have changed size or were available in so many sizes is that they have to do different things. Some are to be seen up close in a window or in a lobby. Some are from a great distance. And all of that affected the image quality, the printing quality. And today, we don't have that same richness of movie poster tradition, but we still make movie posters. And if you think about what a movie poster image has to do now, it's almost even more challenging because they have to exist in a theater lobby, but then also on a DVD cover and even as a Netflix thumbnail. So how artists manage to make compelling images at all these sizes is a really important part of this show, and I think it's very exciting to see.
I don't know when, maybe one of you can tell me, is when they actually started using photographs, because I think when you look at the older posters, they're illustrations of actors. They're not photos of actors.
One of the things to remember is that we didn't actually have any methods of reproducing large-scale photographs. So even from the very beginning, the smaller lobby cards were black and white photographs that were then hand-tinted. There were methods of reproducing photographs at that size, but for the larger posters, we couldn't. So there was lithography, there were different printing methods over time, and one of the challenges became trying to make something as photographic as possible and as like and flattering as possible, but still make it reproducible.
Please,
and
only because of time, tell me about one you were telling me I'm really excited about, a Charlie Chaplin poster.
Oh, well, there are numbers. So that's a good example of the smaller lobby cards are photographs of him or scenes from the movie. But the largest poster in the exhibition of Charlie Chaplin is for Caught in a Cabaret. And it's an illustration that is completely unlike the actual movie. It's a very reduced, calm, beautiful image of Charlie Chaplin with a dachshund. That's always important in an image.
Designed by a woman, by the way.
Yeah, written, produced by women and designed by women. There are so many other layers of stories in this exhibition of who was involved in all of the processes, and I think it will surprise people to learn some of that. But when, on the screen, we have Caught in a Cabaret running next to that poster, and they really, except for Chaplin's unmistakable sort of mustache and bowler hat, they're unrelated otherwise.
Dwight, are you still collecting movie posters? I wonder if, like, you know, you think of the movies that are coming out, you know, in this era. Is that stuff that's still interesting to you?
That doesn't really interest me because I really collect for the artwork. So it's the early paper that really attracts me, the stone lithography and these rich colors, strong graphics, typography. So the answer is yes, I am still collecting, but I'm buying things that are not from current movies.
Is there a movie poster that you really want but you have not been able to find?
Yeah, well, that's a question we don't ask politely to collectors, but to be honest with you, there are very, very few things on that list. Most of the stuff that I tend to buy now are things from the silent era or obscure foreign posters that I just never even knew existed until I saw them for the first time. So this gets back to the rarity factor, where a lot of these are one of a kind. Even, you know, even a poster from that Romanian poster, for instance, from the Cowboys, is from the 1970s. I mean, it's pretty hard to find posters from the Eastern Bloc countries, and, you know, from England, and anything after the war. There have been so many paper drives and whatnot that you know, the stuff has just disappeared. So it's there are always things out there. It's I love the chase, and I love hunting things down, and so I'm not afraid to turn rocks over, and I seem to still find stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, as a Gen Xer, I saw some of those pictures, looking forward to seeing. I got the Godfather up there. You've got one I'm really excited about, too, is the Raiders of the Lost Ark one. So, you know, looking forward to that.
We should note that's an Egyptian poster.
Really, and that's an Egyptian really rare poster.
Wow.
But we've also included, for all the foreign posters, we've included a thumbnail of the U.S. poster for comparison.
Yeah.
And you can see the similarities and differences, and it's really enlightening.
Looking forward to this. Matthew Bird, a guest co-curator at the Norton Museum of Art, also talking with Dwight Cleveland. They are behind the new exhibition at the Norton. It's called Coming Soon, the largest museum show of movie posters. Find photos on our social media. Check it out. Matthew.
It opens tomorrow.
There's
a talk tomorrow night at 6 p.m. and admission is free on Fridays and Saturdays.
Matthew, Dwight, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right. And again, check out our social media if you want to see more. All right. That's our program for this Thursday, July 11th. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great Friday, a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.